Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we continue to wrap up the end of the season. And we come away from another blowout victory at the 3M. And we get ourselves ready for the Wyndham Championship. Maybe some similarities in scoring from a week ago. Will there be similarities in the winning gap again? I don't know. Your take on Lee Hodges kind of just kind of pulling a Brian Harman.
Yeah, wire to wire, just dominant. Like, kind of made Sunday viewing a little less dramatic. CBS, I think, was trying to find any opening they could, but
it was tough.
Yeah. What was cool is Hodges, a coach from Alabama, came in and surprised him. And, you know, Hodges' reaction at the end, I think, was pretty cool. So, like, I always love seeing the first-time winners win. And,
sure.
And I don't know if you saw when he hit that. It was on the par 5, and the first par 5 in the back. He hits it within 3 feet. And then they later show a clip from his home club in Alabama just all going nuts on that shot. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, I saw that. And I was like, my first thought was, man, I wish I was there. And I thought, oh, wait, I wouldn't be a member, so they wouldn't let me in. But right. I still wish I was there.
Right, just, you know, the whole celebration, all that. But
it looked really cool, absolutely. And I'm with you. I love that first-time thing, the Cinderella story. Like, I was like a Tom Brady fan until after about one Super Bowl win, and then I, you know, never cheered for him again because I can't really stand cheering for the favorites. But when he was the underdog story, I loved him. I always loved the underdog story, so I'm totally with you. And, you know, these kind of tournaments, they do kind of present that to you because there's not a – I mean, you know, we kind of poo-poo the depth of the field and the strength of the field, but it does present those pretty cool stories.
It does, yeah. But it was not a good week for me. I got to Friday, and just my golfers were just not doing things. I was able to pull off a 1-6 lineup. So that should sum up my week. And, you know, Hideki, I actually bet first-round leader on Thursday, and it's like, all right, he's looking good until Lee Hodges comes out and snatches that away from him. And then Hideki did absolutely nothing the rest of the week. So, but I did move up 2 spots in 1 and done, but not significantly enough.
After the big Harmon payoff, I ended up only just playing one lineup last week. It cashed, but I didn't, you know, it certainly didn't stand the excitement that was hitting the big long shot for the Open Championship. So I was pretty happy. I was like, I was telling you before we got started here, like, part of me says, man, I wish I would have been more invested. And I thought, nah, maybe I was just right where I belong because I didn't have necessarily a great feel. My one lineup was 5-6 and ended up cashing and more than doubling up. So I was pretty happy with that. And I'm hoping I will honestly take that again this week.
Yeah, I should have only played one lineup. Or actually, I shouldn't have played at all. But
it's funny because normally I'm the multi-lineup guy and you're the one lineup guy, but I have kind of scaled it back outside of the majors.
Yeah, I've been playing 5 just because I get to a point where it's just like I have a lot of players I want to use and things like that. And
oh, I get it. I was a 10-lineup guy forever. I get it.
Now, when we go in the next 3 weeks, I don't know at that point because of these smaller fields and all that, but I still have to try to find out by next week if the St. Jude is a no cut event, because that seems weird that they would cut 5 people at most.
I think we'll get an answer from that this week. I don't know. Maybe it won't even be on the radar of the broadcast crew because it is the following week. So maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will see. Well, Skeeter, we're ready to take it to the Wyndham Championship here.
Yep.
It is the Wyndham, Sedgefield Country Club, Greensboro, North Carolina, par 70, 7,100 yards. Skeeter, are we looking for another scoring fest like we saw a week ago?
I don't think so. Like, I don't remember. Let me find the recent winners here. I don't remember this being a...
I mean, I would think with a par 70, the answer would probably be no, considering, Hodges was 23 under as the winner?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get there. I'm trying to... All right, let me pull up the leaderboard here. See, Tom Kim won at 20 under last year, but he just blitzed the field, including on a 61 on Sunday. He won by 5. The year before was like the 6-way playoff at Kisner... Or no.
Ooh, I remember that. It was Kisner, Kevin Na, Adam Scott,
Brendan Grace, Roger Sloan, who I might have used that week, at Siwoo. Yeah, so that was 15 under. Your favorite Wyndham Championship.
I hit that tournament, by the way. I don't even remember who won, but I hit that tournament. I had two of the six guys in the playoff.
Kisner won that year. There you go. Of course, you probably remember 2020 very well.
Oh, Jim Herman won.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Herminator, of course. This is a classic Herminator field.
Posted at 22 and under. So, yeah, we might see 20 under, even though we haven't seen in the past couple of years.
Besides score, what else are we looking for when we attack this par 70?
So this is just looking at the stats of the holes is really weird. The front nine is the easier of the two nines. Like they the hardest hole is number seven, a 223-yard par three, is the sixth most difficult hole on the course. So they really have, you know. But they only have, you know, they have the easiest, two of the three easiest holes. But the back nine starts off with the fourth, second, fifth hardest holes. Then you get the fourth easiest. Then the third hardest. Then you get the second easiest, fifth easiest. You have an average hole and the hardest to close on 18. So it's a really bizarre sequence. So take that whatever it means to you. As far as stat-wise, there's there's eight par fours between 400 and 450 yards. So that's where I will be looking, along with proximity from 150 to 175. I will look at the 200 plus proximity. There are two par threes for that and the par fives, both of which are gettable in two. But birdies are better approach. Fairways gained do mean something, because when we go over the past winners here, we see Henrik Stenson, Tom Kim, Herminator, Kisner, Siwoo, I think Kuchar's play well here, Webb Simpson, Billy Horschel's play well. They all kind of seem like shorter, accurate hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to certainly be looking at that. Again, top 65 in ties will make the weekend. Last year, I think it was 83 players, so that was a massive field. But this is the final event before the playoffs. Top 70 only make the playoffs, and there'll be some players who, even if they win, will not make the playoffs. Like, for example, Bhatia, who won at Barracuda, since that was an alt-field event, he's not in the playoffs.
He couldn't believe he wasn't in the playoffs with the win.
Right. I mean, that's just the way this new system is. So even 500 points does not necessarily guarantee you, if you're at the bottom of that list, a spot in. Now, it's still important to play for, you know, even if you're not, if you don't make the playoffs. I believe they're going to have what I think they call a FedEx Fall series, where after that, anybody in the top 125 gets their tour card.
Okay. So that's certainly interesting as well. I was unaware of that.
Yeah, I was trying to look. Yeah, somebody asked a question today, like, okay, so could somebody who's in the top 70 actually go play this? Because, like, the example they used was Homa as the defending champion at the Fortinet.
I know it, yeah.
Like, if he's not getting points, like, because these points don't count towards 2024. Like, the Tournament of Champions will be the first points-earning event for 2024.
Very interesting.
Because if you remember, they kind of wanted to remove the fall swing a little bit, because some players are like, man, we kind of want an off-season, so, you know, the Stars. So they kind of got rid of that. So there's some questions I don't think we have answers to yet, or we're gonna have to kind of figure this out. But yeah, so even, you know, so that's one thing. And there's some big names still on the outside looking.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Lowry is one. Justin Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm pulling up my FedEx Cup right now. All these are outside the tops of Justin Suh, K.H. Lee, Matt Wallace, who he won an all-field event, right?
He did. That was, geez, I'm not going to guess it right.
Puerto Rico, Punta Cana. Yeah. Adam Scott's outside. Joel Dahman, which I'm sure our group chat, or for the elite, thrilled with. Michael Kim, who's had a good year. He's not in. Gary Woodland, Ches Reavy. Bhatia's 99th with a win.
Wow. With the win. I mean, I get it, but still.
You know, there's some other names just down the list. Lucas Glover has been playing really well as 112th. Like, Billy Horschel, 116. Like, Luke List, CT Pants. I mean, it's a big week for anybody in the field.
are we ready to get into that field?
I think so. I was looking. There are 239 people who have FedEx Cup points so far this year. By the way, Fred Couples has more FedEx Cup points than Jamie Holmes.
Did he make the cut at the Masters? Where did he get those FedEx Cup points?
I don't know, but
he had to make the cut at Augusta. I can't imagine he's played any other event.
Also, Tiger Woods has
the same baby.
I don't know. Tiger has the same amount of points as Kyle Stanley, 11.
Where did Tiger get his 11? He played Augusta this year, right? It all runs together. It's.
I know. That's what I'm trying.
I'm like, I had to think who won Augusta this year. Rahm. I was going to say Scheffler for a second.
He withdrew. He made the cut at the Genesis.
Okay. There you go. Well, 11 more FedEx Cup points than you or I, Skeeter. But only 11. We're just right behind him.
Oh, we're so close.
So close. We just need one Monday Q to go our way.
I think we need more than one Monday Q, but...
Well, you're right. All right, Skeeter, shall we get into the group?
Yep.
It's 10K plus. It's Sung JM at 10.8. Hideki 10.6. Russ Henley 10.2. Sam Burns 10K even. Skeeter, what's going on here?
I'm not sure I'm going up here. There's just nobody that really stands out. The only guy who stands out a little bit is Russell Henley. I mean, if we're going to be looking at, you need to hit fairways and things like that, that's him. He's ninth in fairways gained. He's never won an approach over 24 rounds. Sixth in that key par four distance from 400 to 450. 11th ball striking. Really just amazing course history here. This is why he's one of the favorites. Three straight top tens. Like, it's just impeccable playing. But outside of that, I would expect him to be somewhat popular. Could be popular in one and done. And do I really... I mean, is there that big of a difference between Russell Henley at 10-2 and some of these 9K guys?
Probably not.
I don't think so. So maybe I get up there to Russell Henley, but I'll be honest, I don't have a ton of interest right now. Or he's a consideration, but I'm leaning no right now.
I'm not sure what I'll do with 10K plus. I don't have a necessarily definitive favorite, but I can see myself getting up here. Sung JM has played this course very well as well. At 10.8 at the top price, I could see people kind of steering away from him. And it's not like he's playing terrible. Yeah, he missed the cut at 3M, but he was under par. Open Championship, he was 20th. Missed the cut at the Scottish, but Rocket Mortgage inside the top 30. Travelers inside the top 30. So, look, this field's not that good. I'll give him a break on the 3M the week after the Open. And his course history, three top 10s in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I'm now looking at Monday night ownership projections. It's Russell Henley up here, and then everybody else, he's like near 20. Everybody else is kind of floating 10 to 12 range, 10K plus.
If I can afford him, I'll get to Sungjae. Will you go anywhere else?
Burns, maybe. Sungjae, maybe. Like, the fact I'm looking at this, like, I think my problem with Sungjae is he's just not doing a whole heck of a lot right now. 20th at the Open, missed last week, as you mentioned, missed at Genesis. Like, you have to go back to Wells Fargo last time he had a top 10. Like, do I really want to pay top dollar for that?
I get it.
But I mean, you got to find out. You know, this might be where you can kind of go a little bit contrarian, because there are some really popular plays popping up. Like, Sam Burns has a little boom bust in him. His last six starts, six at Schwab, 60 Memorial, missed on a number at the Canadian Open, 32nd at the U.S. Open, 19th at the Scottish, he was fairly close at the Open. Like, I don't know what to do with him here.
You really wouldn't go to Hideki?
No, because again, when was the last time he had a top 10?
I mean, but he had two really good rounds. He was hurt earlier in the year. He's had a spotty history here, but a third and 11th are in that history. Look, I know Saturday was bad, but Sunday was okay. Thursday was great. Like, maybe Hideki is just ready to get to that top 10.
His putter has been a bit main issue. Like, I get it. It's just so hard for me to pull the trigger on him.
That's fair. Is there a fade here? I mean, is it just all of them / none of them?
Yeah, I mean, Henley's the play, but everybody's going to play him, so then you have to make a decision, you know, who do you kind of get off of if you're trying to avoid that? And it's, for me, it's either Sungjae or Burns. And maybe I'd lean Burns just because he's in better form. But your Sungjae course history argument, like this does feel like a perfect course for him.
I'd say I'm fading Burns, I guess. But I'm going to be interested to see, you know, I'm in the $3 or three entry max, $8 mulligan. So when my three entries are filled, if I'm content with what I've got or if I continue on, we'll see. But right now I'll say Burns. You ready to get into 9K?
Yep.
It's Adam Scott at the top, 97. Shane Lowry, 95. Ludvig Åberg, 93. JT Poston, 92. JT Justin Thomas, 91. Siwoo Kim, 9K. Skeeter, what up?
All right, Siwoo Kim's going to be the most popular play in this range. Right now he's projecting as the second most popular play of the week. Like, he's another one. Former winner here with great course history. He's played here five times, missed a cut once. Other finishes, first, second, third, fifth. Like, that's just going to draw attention. He's done well at some of the other corollary courses. Harbortown, he lost in a playoff there. He's played well at the Players, or he's won the Players.
The Players is a comp course to this, yes?
Yeah, well, when you kind of think of who's won, you know, we've
seen... Webb, Siwoo.
Yep, Billy Horschel, no, but I think he's had success at Heritage. But it's just one of all these short, classic design courses where you got to keep the ball straight. Did Stenson win our Players?
I'm not sure. I'd say yes, but I'm not sure.
I don't think he did, but, I mean, that's another former winner that kind of fits the profile, so... Everything kind of goes in that way with Siwoo. He rates out terrifically in all the stat categories except putting, where he's 125th. But that's nothing new. His form coming in, not great. Missed the Open, missed the Travelers. Okay, well, he lost seven strokes putting the Travelers, so that's classic Siwoo. 39th at the U.S. Open, 4th at Memorial. So, again, he's just kind of been all over the place. But at 9K, he's mispriced.
He seems mispriced as well. You know, if I were playing like 10 lineups, I definitely am using him. I don't know where I'm going right now, but I'm thinking Adam Scott might be my play. The course history is limited, but if we're making a player's comp, he's won that tournament. He was 33rd at the Open. You know, he's been up and down. It's been quite obvious. Missed cuts, but he's had good finishes when he has them. He's had a good finish here too, by the way. It was second 2 years ago, so... I'll take my chances with Adam Scott with a whole lot on the line for him to get into the playoffs.
See, he's fine. I don't think he's the one I'm on. The one I'm going to be on, and maybe I'm a little bit of a hypocrite here, because if I'm bashing Hideki for not having, you know, those top tens, I mean, at least this guy's a bit closer to the top tens. I'll just go right below Adam Scott, go Shane Lowry, who is also trying to find his way in the playoffs, but he rates out decently well and everything. No real weakness, and you know, I think he can hit the ball straight. But again, in this range, it's Poston and Siwoo who people are gravitating towards. Everybody else is single digits.
I think Poston is the chalk that I'll get to. He's my number two.
Yeah, he's on my list as well.
He won it, the deer. He finished sixth at Deer this year, so he showed the ability to play well at a place he's won. Now, obviously, he won here a while ago, missed a cut a couple of times, but the 21st last year is encouraging. He's playing lights-out golf right now. So JT Poston, I mean, I could make the argument that he should be priced ahead of Siwoo.
I think Siwoo is a better – I mean, I think Siwoo should be higher, but – But
only because of how good Poston's playing. He's had three top tens in his last four tournaments.
Yeah. No,
and the Open Championship is the one it wasn't a top ten. He still made the cut T41. This is no Open Championship field. I don't know if I'm talking you or me into it, but I liked him last week. I'm going to ride the train.
Yeah. I also think this is one of those things where there is already early kind of a lot of steam heading towards a few players. So I think it's something to be cognizant of when you're constructing lineups. Like, you probably don't want to play Henley, Poston, Siwoo, or two of those three, or somebody that we're about to get to in the eights. Actually, there's two players in the eights who are also projecting very well. That you might want to find different ways to differentiate. And this is where, you know, the Sam Burns or somebody else in the tens, if you know you're Adam Scott or my Shane Lowry, that'll make you different.
Hmm, that's good. That's good knowledge. Anybody else from the 9Ks you're on?
No.
Who are we fading?
I'm fading Aberg. This does not feel like the best course fit for him. And really, outside of the John Deere, he really hasn't done much. He lost 7.5 shots at approach last week. I think did he get like a 9 on Saturday on 18? Like he must have been finding the water a lot. So I don't think there's a ton of water on this course, but you know, I think he's still trying to figure things out. He's not quite there yet, but maybe I think the win will come either in the fall or sometime next year.
Skeeter, Justin Thomas is my fade. It's just not there right now. And the course history here is so long ago, it's hard to make much of it. But a 56 and a missed cut, that's not like he's going to have something great to lean back on from his history when his current run of form is terrible. There's a reason he's outside the playoff line. So I'll fade JT. Could his ownership get so low that you go, maybe I should think about playing him?
Yes, he's right now projecting 5-6%.
It's hard to ignore the price there, but
here's the argument for JT if you want to play him, besides ownership. When I look at his stats, again, we don't have stats for the Open or the Scottish. Outside of like a -6 at the Rocket Mortgage around a green, which was just a complete anomaly, nothing else really sticks out. Like, he was bad at the U.S. Open off the tee. But he's been fine off the tee since. His approach, he's losing strokes, but he's not losing a ton. Around the green, there's that anomaly. Otherwise, that putting, his putting's actually gotten a little bit better the past few tournaments. He's only losing like a half stroke or stroke.
He switched putters, right, to like some counterbalance thing?
Or Sky Cameron or something. Yeah, something like that. But basically, I mean, he's won it. Yes, the results are terrible, but the stats are not, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, missing six strokes putting every week. It always seems to be something that he's just a little off on. So if he ever puts all things together, but and I know that's a big if, there's a case there.
Yeah. I want to jump on with that pricing, but I also did it with Dustin Johnson at the Open, and that didn't pay off very good. So shall we go to the 8Ks?
Yes.
Stephen Yeager, 89. Cam Davis, 88. Denny McCarthy, 87. Aaron Rise, 86. Keith Mitchell's withdrawn. Benny Ahn, 84. Bo Hostler, 83. Chris Kirk, 82. Aaron Smalley. Alex Smalley, let's try to get one right, 8,100. Taylor Moore, 8K. Adam Hadwin, also 8K. Skeeter, you said there's some popular players. Is it one that you're on?
I'm on 5 players here. Some of them popular, some of them not. I might as well go with the second most popular in this range, and that's Alex Smalley at 8,200 or 8,100. Ranks number one in my model. Number one ball striking, second opportunities gained, third approach, fourth in that proximity from 150 to 175. Elite in everything except putting. He's been on a nice little run here. He missed the cut at the Scottish, but prior to that, second John Deere, 47th at the Rocket Mortgage, 9th at Travelers. So he's been in good form. Trip to Europe maybe throws him off a little bit, but he's had enough time to recover from that one. 8,100 with his current form and having a 29th and 13th the past 2 years here, he's going to be popular for a reason, but that might be a hard one to avoid.
How popular is one Denny McCarthy going to be this week?
He's the most popular in this tier, and he's right now the most popular overall.
I mean, that's not fair. I got on the bandwagon first. That means I got to play him in every lineup. Of course, history is pretty good. This seems like a place where Denny Mac might break through. So whatever, he's popular. I'll just go ahead and overdo it and make sure if I play 3 lineups, he's in 2 of 3 and make sure I have 66%.
Number one putting, number one in a par 4 from 400 to 450. So yes, and his worst stat is 40th in opportunities gained. So yeah, he's hitting all aspects.
Who else do you like?
This is where, again, if I'm, you know, Danny McCarthy's going to be an interesting call for me, but Stephen Yeager, 8,900, and I realize that feels like a lot to pay for him, but he's been playing real consistent golf the past couple months. Last 3 tournaments, 30th, 3rd, 13th, and 9th. Iron's have been there. he lost 3.5 strokes putting last week. Like, so the putter can be a little hit or miss, but around the green's been there off the tee, been there for the most part. Like, he's just playing solidly. I don't know if I end up playing him at 8,900 just because he probably doesn't rate out as some of the better ones, but could be a slight ownership discount if I wanted to go there.
Cam Davis played this place a couple times pretty well. Cam Davis has been playing some pretty decent golf right now. Missed the cut at the Scottish, but 33rd, 17th, 10th, the 10th being the most recent last week at the 3M Open. I'm interested in Cam Davis again.
There's two reasons I'm not. He's 113th in fairways gain, and this just does not feel like a Cam Davis course, and then 115th putting. I get the other arguments. Good birdies, good par four, good proximities, good ball striking, but just that fairways gain scares me a little bit.
Anything else positive for you?
Aaron Reich's going to continue to pop up, and he'll be mediumly popular. Number one, fairways gain. Second, that par four and that proximity range that I like. So that is really good. Seventh in approach, 10th ball striking, 10th birdies are better. He'll be hard to avoid. And then I don't know what I end up doing with this guy, but if we're talking shorter hitters, accurate hitters, doesn't this kind of ring Chris Kirk a little bit?
Yeah, his course history is a little spotty. I guess that's Chris Kirk's like history, though. But he had an 11th, I think. Let me scroll and get to him. Yeah, he had an 11th. It was way back in 2018. 29th was here in 2021. So all made cuts. I agree. Chris Kirk is a player that's interests me here.
Now, granted, his recent form, past six tournaments, four missed cuts. But there's a 14th at Rocket Mortgage, 21st at John Deere, the easiest of the fields he's been in. And this certainly will be one of the easier fields. So Kirk does make some sense, I think. And he was third at Sony this year, which is another little comp course.
R70, yes, sir. Benny Ahn, he's got a nice course history, and he's been playing pretty good here this year, but also here as of late.
Yeah, 23rd the Open, 3rd the Scottish, 51st at Deere. Benny Ahn feels like he should just, you know, if he doesn't make the, if he doesn't get his card, just go play the DP World Tour, because I think he's a pretty good links player, Euro style player. I feel like he's had some success over there.
He played Memorial well, which is a pseudo European. I mean, it's a long course, obviously, but Jack tries to give it that pseudo Euro feel. Anything else in the positive here?
Nope.
Skeeter, I really like this range. I don't know if I have a fade. Who you got?
It might be, you know, it's Hadlin.
I was surprised to see how low his price was. And then I'm like, man, he just missed the cut at the 3M on the number. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm playing him. But he had a 10th year 2 years ago. Like, I'm not so sure I have a fade here.
I mean, missing cuts at the John Deere and 3M with those fields is not.
Yeah, it's problematic.
Not that this is a much better field than, well, I mean, it's better than John Deere, but I don't know how much better it is than last week. But, yeah, just not for me.
I guess I'm fading Taylor Moore, but he was fifth here last year. He was fourth at the Rocket Mortgage, surrounded by a ton of missed cuts, though. So he's kind of – obviously he's got that boom potential, but I'll fade him here.
Yeah, also another one who just does not hit fairways very well.
7K, Skeeter, we got some names that are interesting. Who is interesting you the most?
Can I tell you who's not interesting me?
Yeah?
Anybody 7,600 and up.
Okay, I can get with that.
Like, even Eric Cole, who raced out really well, bad fairways gain. Like, that scares me a little bit. Bhatia coming off the win. I don't know. Billy Horschel's intriguing to me, but because he's another one, good course history. Showed a little bit of life last week, but
finally, though, right?
Yeah, maybe that's a bet, and you know, just kind of do it that way. But there's really nobody else. There's nobody up there that I'm really excited to play. Once we get to the 7,500 range, now I can start finding some golfers. And I'll just go to 7,400. Adam Schenck rates out again very well in the proximities of 150 to 175, 200 plus. Good in that par four range. Seventh and birdies are better. Second approach. 13th ball striking. Fairways gain might be a little bit of an issue, but it's not awful for him. Missed at the Open. Prior to that, 4th at Deere, 7th at Rocket Mortgage. Missed at the Travelers and U.S. Open, but before that, 7th Memorial, 2nd at Schwab. So basically his past was seven turn, well, 10 if we really want to go there. It's either miscut or top 10. Like, this is the ultimate boom bust guy, but at 7,400, this is where I don't mind taking that chance.
Brendan Todd has to be the man for this course, right? He's playing pretty good right now, too. I mean, within the last two tournaments, I'll take a made cut at the Open and a top 10 before it.
Yeah, he's on my list. I mean, again, if we're talking short, accurate hitters, he certainly fits. There's one guy I want to check his history before I mention him. Because he all of a sudden has found himself potentially make the playoffs. Kevin Streelman, right below, right at the same price, 7th here 2 years ago, kind of making a... I mean, he'd been playing a little bit better, and then all of a sudden ends up with a T2 last week, and all of a sudden he's now fully in the mix. Irons have been good off the tee. I mean, he gained last week. Putter finally woke up a little bit for him last week, but if he can continue that, I'm not saying I'm going to get a second out of him, but he might be somebody I'll... He's even betting consideration for me.
He has good little course history, too, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he finished 7th here 2 years ago, so he showed he can pop here. What about Garrett Kigo? He was one of the guys in my my lineup a week ago that helped me cash, and, I mean, he just keeps getting the job done. Now that's three in a row inside the top 21.
Everything's off the tee for him. His approach, he finally gained on approach for the first time in a while. He also gained 4.7 strokes putting. So that's an issue for me. I get where you're coming from. I don't think he's my type of player.
Okay. Doug Gim do anything for you?
Yes, he's rating out extremely well in everything. He's like mediocre putting, but everything else is topping, and he's elite in the ball striking accuracy, things like that. He continues to put up solid finishes. I think he's going to be the chalk in this range. Let me... pull it up, yeah, 15%. So everybody's kind of, the stats are just popping on him. But, you know, definitely one I will consider.
Who else are you looking at?
I mean, Lucas Glover, I know he missed last week, but still hits out very well, hits fairways. Pendrith doesn't hit fairways, but boy, did he finish well here last year?
I'm not looking at that right this second. Yeah, 13th, now I'm trying 13th to.
A year ago. Again, just kind of another boom bust. 14th at Rocket Mortgage, 6th at Barbasol, which I know, whatever. Missed on a number at 3M. Like, this doesn't feel like a Penrith course, but he's on the outside looking in, and he's in some decent form.
Is this a Ches Reavy course?
I haven't starred. I mean, you would think, but I don't remember him playing overly well at any of the comp courses. I mean, outside the 4th, I mean, he had a little stretch of Deer, Rocket Mortgage, and Travelers in Canada where he was okay, but when he lost 2.6 putting last week, his irons are still okay. He'll hit fairways. Might give him another look. And then Brandon Wu is the other guy I think I have some interest in. Oh, I have two others. Brandon Wu. Why? Ninth of Canada. Maybe I don't have an interest in Brandon Wu. Maybe that's another one. I'll just take it off. I have too many guys started.
You didn't mention Webb Simpson. I'll play him. I don't care what the form is. It is nothing but positive outcomes at this course, and the price is too cheap. Now, again, if I play three lineups, I'm only going to play him in one. I'm not going to play him in two, but I'll play him.
Might be the one I just courtesy bet to win in top 10.
Maybe two. That's a good point, too, because, I mean, he's only had one, like, outside of the top 10 finish here. Doesn't he live there? His kids named Wyndham. Like, he loves this place.
Yes. I don't think it was a good form last year and he had a top 10, so. The other one would be Kevin Yu at 7K. Now, granted, since he's come back from injury, it's been 49th missed cut, 6th missed cut, 37th, so this means if we're following the pattern, he'll miss the cut. Off the tee has been really good. Approach was good last week. He lost 6 strokes putting last week. He has some extreme putting variances, good and bad, so. If you don't mind a little variance, Kevin Yu rates out pretty well. Good ball striker, good opportunity to gain, terrible putter.
Mackenzie Hughes do anything for you?
No.
Okay.
It feels like, of course, it would fit him.
I don't know if I'm trying to think this as, like, because it's, yeah, the Honda par 70 type thing, but
He's 105th in he's 105th in fairways gained, so maybe not.
Maybe not. You got anything positive left? Or you got a fade for me?
I think my fade against it's going to be 7,600 and above.
I feel like being just a baby and fading Mark Hubbard, and I think I will. Because he missed the cut last week after two top tens. He was my missed cut. Didn't cost me a ton, but his course history is okay here. I'm fading Mark Hubbard because I'm mad at him.
Well, he's also bad at fairways game, so.
Well, then, good. I'm sure he'll end up finishing wonderful and making me cry for 2 weeks in a row. Skeeter, should we get to them 6Ks?
Yep.
What kind of names you got for me down here?
I got a couple names I've mentioned in the past couple weeks, but I'll start with one who I have not mentioned. Decent form, Justin Lower at 6,800.
Mm-hmm.
8th at Rocket Mortgage, 44th at Barbasol, 43rd at 3M. Did have a 25th in Canada, so he's in some decent form. Off the tee, not great, but his irons have been there. His putting has been there. Around the green, so-so. So, at 6,800, he at least shows a little bit of form for me to consider.
What about the villain, Marty Laird?
Who all of a sudden, boy, he benefited from a little triple bogey that JT posted in last
week. Sure did.
I don't have any interest in Laird.
I only want to because every time I see his name, I get mad and I go, oh, maybe I should have been on him this week.
He's been in Vegas.
Lipsky doing anything for you this week?
No.
Okay.
I like Lipsky, but he's – I mean, look, you want to take a flyer on somebody, I'm never going to tell you no because he's got winning upside, good fairway hitter, but just not doing a ton, not great from 200-plus yards.
Who else do you like?
All right, if you're looking for made cut, I mentioned him last week, and I'll do it again here. Russell Knox, 6,500. Like, the guy's made 5 straight cuts. Granted, nothing better than 33rd. Irons have been there. He's just kind of erratic all over the place after that, but maybe he makes a cut for you.
But what about?
I have 2 guys at 6,300, but I'll hold off.
Does Aaron Baddeley do anything for you?
No. Good week last week, and he's playing well limited starts. The problem is his course history here is not good.
Okay. The Seagull obviously should be in everyone's lineup.
Still rates out decently well.
Anyone else you got? I was looking at maybe Peter Quest or David Lipsky, but I'm really more interested in the back end of 7K.
I mean, if Scott Piercy has a decent little history here, and he's made 4 of his 6 past cuts with at least a 19th at Byron Nelson. Like, he's not the worst $6,300 golfer I've ever seen in my life.
I can get with that. Anybody else?
Yes. I might bet this guy top 20, top 40 or something. Can I interest you in somebody who finished 31st at John Deere, 24th at Barbasol, and 20th at the 3M Open?
Do they have a really good course history, too?
I thought
he did.
I didn't check this.
Actually, 24th 2 years ago, 14th way back in 2017, 22nd in 2016.
Only one missed cut. Now, granted, he finished DFL last year, but there's a tie for 83rd last year. But Duff Daddy.
Yeah, you can.
That's all I got, the sixes.
I mean, the Herminator's down here.
What has he been doing?
Nothing.
Okay.
He had, if you remember, there was that day you texted me, he was on 59 watch. And he finished T63. A 71, a 63, a 71, a 74.
Yeah, shooting.
It was a one-day event.
Shooting 3 over a deer run is not going to, you're losing a lot of strokes in the field.
Oh, he was on the outside looking in after day one, and then he had that crazy day, and he bogeyed late in the round end at 59 watch. But, yes, that's what he's been doing is that one day.
Right, but again, yeah, +3 is just not going to cut it at John Deere.
Well, I agree with that. Skeeter, Rory Sabatini has a great course history. He is in the field at 6K even. Boy, if I try to squeeze them all in, I could think about it, but I probably won't.
Wait, who'd you say?
Rory Sabatini.
He's back.
He is in the field, and where's his course history? It's
not bad.
Where is it? Where'd you go, Rory? He was 10th 2 years ago. He's had 3 top 10s here.
Yeah, so I said it's not bad. I mean, he's only made one cut this year at Valspar, 16th. But we haven't seen him since the Schwab. So I can't do Silver Sabs, but you just start your line with Sabatini, Herman, and Hoffman, and you can do whatever the heck you want from there.
M. Hideki Henley, and I probably have money left to spend. I don't know. I haven't actually constructed a lineup that way, for what it's worth. But at any rate, Skeeter, you got a fade for me?
Oh, Nick Watney has not had success here.
Do you know that him and my boy the Seagull are buddies?
Yes, because don't they team together at Zurich?
They sure do. That makes me mad that you would even say that. I don't really have a fade for you without getting silly. So let's just get silly and we'll fade Sam Bennett because I already said if I went 6,900, I'd play Lipsky.
Gotcha.
There you go. Well, Skeeter, one and done is certainly winding down. Is there any reason to get cute this late for anyone? Or is there any reason to discuss it? Because I am basically just inside the top 3,000. I'm proud to still be in the 2,000s. Thank you. 2,969.
Nice.
I get.
Again, my debate right now, I mean, I think Russell Henley will be popular. Siwoo looks like he'll be popular. Do I go Siwoo or do I take a chance on Sam Burns? That's where I think my debate's going to go. I wish I had Lowry still because I'd strongly consider him.
Well, let me know who you want me to put the hex on because I still have Henley, Poston, Lowry, Scotty, and then a bunch after that.
Put the hex on Henley.
Done. Now he's going to have a really good week because it only works when it's my true pick and not a hex pick.
That's all right.
You know how that double cross works.
Oh,
we're gonna,
yeah.
We're going to aim way left and we're going to draw it instead of fading it, and it's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, just like when I play my slice, so I aim left, and then that's the time I hit it. I hit it further left because I open up early, and yeah, it's and then I'll reach in the pocket for another ball because I'm hitting three.
That's correct. At least we found a bunch looking for somebody else's. That's how I always feel.
I played my dad today a little par three course, and I hit a tee shot in a bunker, and of course it's in like a footprint or something. So then I have to trying to hit behind it a little more and hit it hard to get enough sand to get it out. I hit the ball, hit out of bounds, like, all right, drop another ball in the bunker and at least I got another green the next one, but just like,
Nothing like a nice groove or two too high out of the bunker to wake up the neighbors.
Oh, it wasn't a groove or two high. I was trying to hit 3 inches behind the ball and trying to come down really steep just to try to get this, get through the sand and instead hit the ball.
Sure.
Hit ball. So, yeah, that wasn't a groove. That was just a pure miss
it. It was a full chili dip.
Yes.
Well, Skeeter, I wish you the very best this week, particularly as one and done winds down. And I hope your made cut player finishes well. That's all I got for you, buddy.
Thanks. Well, it's I hope that I am not focusing too much on golf on Sunday morning or Saturday morning while we're on talking football.
I hope you are.
No, I don't want to be in the morning. I hope all my players are going off in the afternoon because
that's a valid point.
I don't really need to be sweating my one and done pick who's teeing off at 10 a.m. Like, just not what I really need.
I was glad Harmon had that lead, but I was still watching with one eye a couple weeks ago while we were doing the football program, I promise you.
Oh, well, yeah. And I will. Trust me, I'll be paying attention, especially during commercial break, so we check in the old PGA Tour app if I have anything live.
Well, Skeeter, I look forward to talking a bunch of football with you this week, but I look forward to checking in on how our lineups are doing before we get there. So best of luck to you this week, my friend.
Same to you.
Appreciate you. Appreciate everyone for listening to us. And good luck to you all. This has been the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast.